Hello, I'm Helen Alton, and I'm joined here by Katie Barrick from Denver in Colorado, who's agreed to discuss a bit about her research on gender and sport today. Thanks for joining me, Katie.
Oh, yes, thank you for asking me. I'm really excited to talk about this.
I just wanted to start by asking your view about gender.
Gender plays into, pretty much every aspect of everyone's everyday life. It affects how we engage with each other. It affects with how we engage with the world, and importantly, how the world engages with us in return. So for me, I see gender as a social construction. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're born with the bits, all those physical attributes and pieces that dictate our sex, but all that other stuff about how men and women should act, how they should dress, how they should speak, how much space they're entitled to take up on a train, how they should move in the world, how tough they are, how strong they are, how competitive they're allowed to be. All of that is dictated by society. It's not natural, and it differs by culture. So for me, really looking into the nuances that gender implicates in the world of sport, I feel like you can't do one without the other. I feel like we got to talk about gender in every situation, especially because sport is still considered a masculine domain. Yes, it's 2015. We all know what year it is, what's happening. Yes, women have been participating in sport for decades, probably longer than that, but it's only been sanctioned in our recent past. And it's certainly not universal. And yes, it's a golden era for female athletes right now. But a woman who transgresses into the world of sport is still going out of bounds in terms of her gender. And you can see that in how it plays out in interviews, the kinds of questions female athletes are asked, the kinds of photo spreads you see of athletes, the money they are paid, the venues that they get to play in. All of this you can really sort of break down via gender. So for me, I'm super passionate, and I mean, we can't just sit back and watch. We need to be talking about how gender creeps in different ways and affects things, especially in such a great example like sport.
Yeah, thanks, Katie. That's really good. And I wondered what sort of advice you could give in terms of how to make sense of this.
Right, that's a great question. Sport is not in a vacuum. It is not isolated. It is something that ebbs and flows with the broader culture. So if you're seeing trends elsewhere, and maybe they're a bit reflecting in sport, talk about it. You need to talk about it. Don't be afraid to bring in aspects of your experience, your identity, in order to add richness to the topic. You can't be what you can't see. So if we don't see female athlete role models, how are just female athletes just doing their thing? Mm. How are we showing that this is important, that this is something we care about? We don't, obviously, or we would see it. Maria Sharapova and Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. And it's, let's take it to intersectionality. You have this lithe blonde woman who doesn't win as much and isn't maybe as strong of a player. Mm. But she outperforms Serena in terms of money, in terms of sponsorships, in terms of endorsements. Mm. It is apples and oranges. It's a totally different ballgame. So you have to wonder, is it because Serena Williams is black? Is it because Serena Williams doesn't have the typical, I'm putting quotes around that, feminine body that's very thin? She's muscular. She's powerful. Again, I'm just taking it back to role models, but are we just saying that this is the role model? White, thin, very heteronormatively cisgendered feminine. Mm-hmm. Is that the role model then? And what does that do when we think about, people of color in the media, people of different body types in the media? It limits it to, I'm going to go back to, you can't be what you can't see. What kind of expectations are we setting then as the role models? Because endorsements, again, if we're talking about, you and I were just talking about literal coverage. Who won what were the scores, who performed where? If that's not being covered, then all we have are commercials and magazine ads to look at.
Hmm.
And the numbers change again. I mean, it's not, it's frustrating. And I think we just keep getting handed the same, well, sex sells. To who?
Yeah.
Not to little girls.
No.
It doesn't, that's not going to necessarily sell tickets to a women's sporting event.
Mm.
It misses the audience. It misses the point.
Mm.
I find it very frustrating. But I do think there's been so much focus on women in the media, period. Whether it's women in comedy, women doing, you know, more action-oriented roles, yeah. more complex roles, women writers. There's been a lot of that, at least here in the media, talking about, like, where are the women?
Mm.
Where are they? We need to be representing them. We need to be using them as directors of things, not just objectified bodies in front of the camera.
For the benefit of the students, could you tell me a bit about your research?
Yeah, absolutely. I had been researching exclusively gender and media, just media representations, generally speaking. And I was approached by Dr. Vicky Crane, who was wanting to do a different kind of experiment with sport, with women in sport, and she wanted me to bring that media lens that I'd already been working with into the bigger research project. Vicky wanted to create a new experiment, essentially, where we let female athletes depict themselves. We let them represent themselves. So her idea was to approach female college athletes and see if they would agree to do a photo shoot with us. And if they did agree, when they came to the photo shoot, they pick the location, they pick what they wore, they pick how they posed. All of that was left to them, so they were literally, they're allowed to identify themselves. How do you want to look? How do you want to appear to an outside audience? So rather than just having them posed, they got to choose everything about how they were represented. We had no idea. But the results were fascinating. I mean, just women in their practice clothes, women in uniforms, women in action shots. I mean, there are certainly aspects where femininity kind of creeps in different ways. Not that that's a bad thing. They're allowed to represent themselves however they want. But we didn't get what we were already seeing in the media. And when we interviewed them about what they were trying to say, they said they wanted to look like authentic, competent, skillful athletes rather than how typically female athletes are represented as none of those things, not competent, not skillful. So that was stage one of this project, and I'm still a part of it even though I've moved on and we have different phases of the research. So after we took these photos with college-aged female athletes, we took their favorites to young female athletes. And we had almost the same conversation with these girls between like 8 and 12 years old, where they were so happy to see authentic images. Some of them were so excited to see that, for instance, a softball player was in her batting stance. And this young girl was pointing out all the points that she was accurate and she was a strong batter and you could tell she knew what she was doing. And ultimately, when you look at these interviews from both college-aged female athletes and young girl athletes, both of them want more authentic images of real athletes performing their sport, looking skillful and competent. So then when you go back to the media and you look at with the images that actually exist, where it's, you know, semi-nude or completely unathletic, they're athletes, but they may as well be models, you realize that it's a failure on two counts. You're failing the actual athletes. You're failing young fans and future athletes. Everyone always says sex sells, but I'm still struggling with sells to who?
And what would you say to, because we have quite a high percentage of male students on our course. So,
oh, good, okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to ask you how...
They're going to love me.
What would you say to the male students on the course about gender in sport?
Gender does not mean woman, and gender does not mean feminine. Gender is a wide range of expressions, and I think that men have it just as tough as women. In a different way, in a way that we're not ready to talk about yet. I don't think it's quite as obvious. But I think it is so hard to be hard all the time. I think masculinity is policed even harder than femininity in a lot of ways, especially in the person-to-person, not just media representations or, you know, there's a less clear guideline. But I think I can't walk in your shoes. I can only imagine. I feel like there are a lot of freedoms granted to me as a woman in terms of my gender fluidity that would never be granted to a man, lest he be called, you know, gay or, you know, faggot or something terrible. You know, there's a lot of policing, especially in the world of sport. Especially in the world of sport where you're supposed to be hard and tough. And I feel like any sign of veering away from that, and I'm not saying veering towards femininity, just not embodying that hyper-masculine, brawny, you know, all about the win attitude. I think if you veer any direction but that, you immediately get lumped into a different category. And it's used as either like a point of comedy, like look how sensitive that Nelly is, you know, or it's just you don't belong. You're not meant to be an athlete. So I think, again, you have to question the presumptions that are made in what's being said about your gender. And you have to question how you are performing your gender. I focus on women in sport. There's more to work with there right now. Mm. How do media representations of male athletes, how do they essentially show masculinity? It's men playing their sport. It's men in suits. You don't see them dressed up in like firefighter outfits or like some other hyper-masculine occupation. There's not a lot of masculinity is almost harder to talk about because I don't think it's as on the nose as femininity is. And I think there's a place to sort of look into this. Mm. And I mean, when you look at the number of male athletes who are queer and out, you have to wonder. I mean, it's not really a safe place to do that. It's really policed. Who's allowed to express what about their identity? And we're back at intersectionality again. Be an advocate. Stand up. If you see something funky, say something. Nobody likes being called on their garbage. There's like shame involved and you just want to get away from that. But maybe step back and look. Like, are you being sexist maybe by accident? Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's a learned behavior. Our culture, I'm going to say our collectively here, our Western culture is. But it doesn't mean it should be. And just because you're doing the status quo doesn't mean you're on the right side of history. Just doesn't. I mean, there are gajillions of examples of how that's not true. So if you don't want to look at masculinity and you don't want to question your gender, it shouldn't stop you then from helping out. And, you know, I take it back. You should question. Question everything.
Yes, you should. I agree. Thank you, Katie. It's been a fantastic discussion, and I'm sure the students will get a lot out of that.
It has been my pleasure. I love talking about this stuff, and I am so excited to see the kind of research that your students end up coming up with. It's a wide, wide world. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.